This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are.
Love is love if you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If he's ovaries could talk, he would say.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
This episode is brought to you by Cubo AI, Modern Fertility, and Trust and Will. We are very excited to have them on board, making our show a possibility. Do you like how I do that? And I move my head with it,
too.
You were,
like, very emphatically shaking your head through that. That was hilarious.
Really into that. We are very excited having them. And we're also very excited that you're here with us. Hi.
And we're very excited that Jamie may or may not, but we think, is fresh off an appearance on Tamron Hall.
I was on the Tamron Hall show with my wife, who definitely was not wild about being on the Tamron Hall show about our LGBTQ love.
No, why was Anne not down for this?
She's not. I don't know if you've noticed that Anne's not the most open person when it comes to talking about herself.
She to anything?
Yeah, she doesn't really want to talk about herself ever at all. And that's why we're such a good match, because I'll talk to you about myself constantly. But yeah, this just kind of fell in our laps, and she had to do it. So, because I told her she did.
I mean, that's the thing. They can't say no. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Mm-mm. Our partners, like Mary and I had an audition last week for a Delta in-flight movie, which I was like, we have to get this because that's hilarious. But of course, we probably didn't get it because we had to show our hands. And whenever I have to show my hands, I never get it.
No, I would never, ever get it.
But I never get it. And Mary was like all upset. She was like, I feel like I look dumpy. And I feel like I'm stopping you from booking things. And I was like, you look better than I do. I was like, what are you talking about?
Why are you making your wife try to book you things? That's the problem.
I know. And she's like, the worst part is she's like, I'm getting all this rejection and it's not even my career. She's like,
it hurts.
And I was like, Because I was like, look, the rejection is just what it is. She's like, right, but this is what you want to do. She's like, I just want to help you. And I was like, oh, what a nice baby she is.
Yeah, well, so the whole point with doing this was just to hopefully maybe be able to talk about the podcast and try to get word out about our podcast. And so when they said, do you want to do this and talk about being a couple? I was like, obviously, yes. And Anne was like, but she had to do it. I think I've said this before. If you had told me 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago that I would be trying to make my living surrounding the fact that I am LGBTQ, I'd have been like, get out of town. No way.
I know.
Things have changed immensely.
When I started off as a stand-up, I remember like standing on stage and like trying to talk about dudes. It was like so because you would nobody was out.
No.
It was like ridiculous.
No, oh God, that would have been my worst nightmare. What happened? I don't know, but
we're
here we are.
We're super gays.
And we're trying to get everybody's stories out there so we normalize and lift up our LGBTQ families. And it's important.
But speaking of Jamie, I woke up this morning. Nice transition. Thank you. Well done. I woke up this morning to like three of the most incredible listener emails. Like they talk about liking the podcast, but also about the stories that we've shared, the ones that worked for them or helped them. And these emails were so wonderful.
All just so descriptive. And so they told a little, each of them told a little bit about their story, which were 100%, like we say all the time, unique, even though, you know, they're like, we're going down the IVF path or we're going down the IUI mm-hmm. path. Still, they were like, but our story took this weird turn, you know, like just like telling us that these stories, all the stories that all the people that have shared their stories on this podcast have helped all of these other people get through their struggles that they're going through or their journeys. And that's just, I started tearing up. I really did.
I know. It was never ceased to be amazed how many people are out there still struggling mm-hmm. and just feel alone in this process.
Facing adversity.
It's just,
I mean, yeah. One of the emails talked about the adversity yep. they're facing, which it's like, yep. wow, we're still facing adversity. Come on.
I know. 2021.
I faced a little adversity. We bought a piano from Craigslist, so we went out to Brooklyn.
Did you really?
Yeah, like a weighted keyboard. We're on the phone, and she's like, well, are you bringing your husband? You have to bring your husband because it's heavy. And I was like, no, I'm going to bring another woman. I didn't say my wife. I was afraid to say wife. You know, like those moments where you're like, yeah. I don't know if she's going to.
You're like, I want the piano.
Are you okay with this? So we get there, and she's looking at us. She keeps staring at us. She goes, so you a couple? And
God. Like, by the way, none of your business.
Also, like,
I'm buying your piano.
We just
want
the piano. And so we said, yep. Mm-hmm. And then she goes, asks us all these questions. You have kids? Oh, you had kids before the marriage? No, we made them together. What? You made them together? I never heard of this. Like, this whole.
You were like, you should listen to our podcast.
I didn't. I thought of it, but then I was like, I don't want to. You know, like those moments where it's just like, I don't feel
it's
like
not
it.
Your business.
I don't feel like it right now. I don't. And then, when she finally left us after we got it loaded in, she finally leaves us and she goes, you're the first couple like you I've met that's been together so long. It's amazing, you know? And so I think she was happy.
I mean, that's the thing is like, I know where you're coming from of feeling like, I don't wanna today.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm also like, you provided that lady an opportunity to see something she hadn't seen before. And you know, like maybe that'll open her eyes a little bit. Like maybe she was coming from a nice place. I don't know. Maybe I'm naive.
I think she was truly coming from a curious place. She was a nice lady. It was still just, it was just one of those.
It's a lot in your business.
It's not, it was like, I just came here to buy a piano. I'm not, you know, and that's what we talk about a lot on this podcast. Like when is it okay and when is it not okay?
Voyeuristic versus.
Yeah. And if my kids had been with me, I would have felt the need to really explain it and go into it and not shy away from it at all. But just because it was me and Anne, totally shied away from the conversation. And I was afraid of judgment or, you know, it's just so, it is such a weird thing. And it just is ongoing always.
Yeah. Oh, well, I do want to say one thing before we talk about our guest, Dallas, but that one of those amazing emails, the people found our podcast through our book, which I never thought would happen. Like, because I always thought people find the book through the podcast.
Yeah, we even
but I thought that was pretty cool.
We even wrote in the book, you might have just picked this up because you're interested in LGBTQ families, and now you're learning we have a podcast. But we didn't really think that was going to happen.
We didn't think that was real.
So
anyway,
really
but we
cool.
do have this book, If These Ovaries Could Talk, the things we've learned about making LGBTQ family. So you can go out there and you can get it at all the major retailers, and it's an audiobook format as well. So, you know,
go get
shop local, indie bound.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about our guest, Dallas. She is a listener who reached out to us, which we've said it before, we'll say it again. We love when that happens. And she has been through a lot to create her family, like a lot.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we do want to let folks know that this episode mentions date rape. So, you know, just be prepared for that. And if you're not in the right space to hear it right now, maybe you wait to hear it at a different time or you go right on through it. But it's a beautiful episode. And really can't wait to share her story.
She's a wonderful lady. And I'm so glad. And I would like to say roll the tape, Helen, but we at this
still
point in recording, we still don't know where Helen is.
We have been rolling, guys, it's been tough. We've been rolling the tape ourselves. I don't know how long this can
go
on.
At this point, Jamie, we're worried about Helen. So, it's not just
worried?
About rolling the tape. I'm worried now. I am worried about Helen.
I thought I was the only worried one. Okay.
No,
all right, we're going to find Helen. We're gonna
look
find
out for Helen. She's smoking. Jamie, roll the tape.
Oh, God.
Hi, Dallas.
Hi, Dallas.
Hi.
I love that name.
I do, too. Well, since Dallas and I have been talking last week, I keep calling her Lieutenant Eve Dallas from the J.D. Robb books that I read is the main character.
Interesting.
And I can't stop.
No, that's fun.
My parents say they named me after a song. It's called Dallas by Alan Jackson. And they are both huge Dallas Cowboys fans. So... who knows?
Who knows the truth there?
Is there any nickname for Dallas? Dal?
Usually, yeah, just Dal.
Big D.
That's cute.
That no, dude,
don't want to say Big
that
D.
That got weird. That got weird. Sorry. All right, Dallas.
Anyway. Dallas.
We are going to start with you, where we start with everyone.
Don't be nervous, Dallas.
Which is the 30-second elevator pitch.
Oh, I should have practiced.
No, it's better that you didn't.
Better.
You just be you. You do you, boo. And you tell us who you are.
Okay. On your mark. Get set.
Take a breath.
Go.
Hi, I am Dallas. I live in Southern California with my wife, who is a barber. I'm a teacher. We have an 8-year-old daughter, and we are currently trying to conceive our second. And I also have a podcast, a queer podcast, for folks who are trying to conceive.
Yay!
Amazing.
Oh my God, that was 19 seconds.
That was super good. You could tell you podcast. I say that like we do our elevator pitches any good
at all. Oh my God.
All. We're terrible at it.
Whenever we do our elevator pitch, it is absolutely like
it's horrendous.
People keep going, I'm sure you expect this. And then we're like, no, we didn't
do,
expect
we
it. And then we're horrible at it.
We're pretty bad.
Let's talk about you, Dallas.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I had my daughter before I met my wife. I was 19 when I got pregnant with her. And I was... just, you know, living my best life. I had a job where I made way too much money for a 19-year-old, and I came from a party town. So all I did was party and spent all my money and, you know, did a lot of drugs, did a lot of drinking. And I got raped at a party and fell pregnant with my daughter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So.
I'm so sorry. I mean,
okay.
Not for your daughter.
Yeah.
I'm just sorry for that trauma.
Yeah, because I was young and I was 19 and I was partying so much, I didn't really recognize it as a rape for what it was until she was about a year and a half old. And I went to therapy and my therapist was like, it is absolutely unacceptable that you were asleep and woke up to somebody having sex with you. So that's what we call rape. So we're going to do some, you know, some digging on that. And it was actually not until I started calling it for what it was that I was able to actually start healing from it. And I had a lot of like trauma, obviously trauma from it and a lot of guilt. Yeah.
We have some questions around this because I feel like we want to talk about this or you want to talk about this because we talked about it in the pre-interview.
Yeah.
But we want to just be really clear for our listeners that we're like, we've talked about this prior to this, that, you know, you were like, I'm not sensitive about it. I've done a lot of work, but you know, I think we've been talking a lot lately about not coming at these kinds of questions from a voyeuristic point of view, but coming from like a caring and loving place. And so if we derail off that in any way, you'll let us know.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, my first question is, like, how did you make a decision that you were going to go forward carrying the baby? Like, was that a difficult decision?
Yes, it was a massively difficult decision. And it came down to two main things. One, I grew up in a very religious household. My parents are pastors. And so I'm not religious. I wasn't then. And so I had some long-term indoctrination into why abortion is bad. And the other aspect, I had never considered adoption. Obviously, that's an option too. I'd never considered it just because I didn't think I could do it. Mm-hmm. So it was either abortion or keep the baby. And I would have decided for an abortion probably if I'd been able to afford it. So in the town that I'm from, there's one abortion clinic. And so it's a monopoly and it's like $800 for the procedure. And after I had gotten pregnant, I also had lost my job. So I was no longer making all that partying money. So in the end, I probably could have figured it out if I had tried harder and if I had not had like the moral conflictions that I had had to. And I did just end up deciding to keep the baby. Yeah. And it was a horrible decision, of course, because I was in no way ready to be a parent. I was not in a living situation where it was conducive to have a baby. I just was in a bad place. Mm. However, I kind of like threw myself into parenting and into being a mom and into having this baby. And I'd hate to say that like everything happens for a reason, but she was pretty much my reason. She was my reason for doing everything. And it could have gone either way because I was pretty heavy into drugs at the time. Like I could have continued doing drugs, but I didn't. That was my reason for being like, okay, I can't do this anymore. And stopping and turning it around.
Wow. And was the guy ever involved or what happened with the guy in the end?
So the thing is like, he was a friend of mine from work. We had, so I did know him and I did tell him, and his mom had actually come to me and said, like, you cannot have a baby with this person. Like, he's not a good person and you should have an abortion. And I was like, well, I'm not having an abortion. And then I've never heard from him since. I don't even know where he lives anymore. I don't know anything about him anymore. I can't honestly even remember his last name. So
it's just like, what goes through someone's head at like that they think that while someone's sleeping, I'll never understand. Like, that's a sickness, that there's something wrong. There's something wrong with you. If you think you can, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. It's a terrible trauma to go through. Yeah. Terrible. But
yes, but you have a wonderful daughter now. And so, and it, and
not
like you
to
said,
say it, that makes it worth it. Anyway.
I know. Oh
like,
my God. Well, obviously
it's just hard. It is. You don't want to say the wrong thing.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, honestly, like if I could go back and change it, this is hard for me to say, because like, if I could go back and change it and not get pregnant, like my life would have been a lot easier. And I love my daughter more than anything in the whole world. And I don't want her to go anywhere or go away. But if I could go back to that time in my life, it would have been way easier for me not to get pregnant when I did.
Right. Yeah.
You know what, Robin?
What?
Baby monitors have really stepped up their
They have.
Lately. I know. At least the Kubo AI has. Mm-hmm. And I am not at all mad, that this didn't exist when my kids were babies. Not at all. But listen, guys, the Kubo AI is the first smart baby monitor to apply AI detection to baby sleep, safety, and memories.
Yeah, no, I'm not mad either, Jamie. Mm-mm. First of all, the Kubo AI has video quality so crisp that you can see your baby's tummy moving. It's
so great. If I could tell you the number of times I went to check that tummy, I still do. I really do. I would have been all over this thing.
I know, but that's not all it does. And I'm not mad about this either. It alerts you when your baby's face is covered or they roll over. It alerts you when they cry. You can adjust the sensitivity on it so that you're not alerted for small cries or baby talk.
Which is important.
Yeah, and you can set danger zone alerts like the crib railing or the staircase, and Kubo AI will send an alert when the baby crosses that threshold. Come on. All these alerts can be turned off or adjusted if you're not into them. Mad.
I think I need those alerts for my kids right now.
Oh, God.
So, okay, guys, listen. It also gives you sleep analytics, lullabies, 18-hour playback, and event tags. Like, it shows you when any sleep events happen that you might want to go back and watch, which is so cool. And it also offers family sharing. Listen to this. It allows up to 8 accounts so that you can share with loved ones so they can say hi to your baby, catch up on the latest auto-captured moments, and feel close even from afar.
This is next level, Jamie. And it's got a cute bird design, so it looks nice in any nursery. I am so sad and mad that this didn't exist for us.
I'm not mad at all. I'm not mad at all. I'm honestly mad. I'm really, really sad. I am. But the rest of you can still enjoy it. You should.
So here's what we're going to do. You're going to go to getcubo.com and use the code OCT for a discount off your order.
Do it, guys. This is big for peace of mind. That's getcubo.com and use code OCT for a discount off of your order.
So what happened when after you decided to keep the baby and you tell your family, you tell your friends, what was the reaction?
And I know this is like a weird question to add with that, but like, were you gay at the time?
Oh,
like,
yes.
Because
you were gay this whole time?
Yes.
Out?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I was, yeah. And I had come out, to close friends when I was about 16. And then right around 18 or 19, my mom and my grandma and I all went to the same hairdresser. And my roommate,
very Steel Magnolias of you.
Yes, right. My roommate at the time also happened to go to that same hairdresser and said, like, "Oh, did you know that my roommate is Dallas? She's dating this really awesome girl." And my hairdresser went to my mom and my grandma and said, "Did you know that Did you know that Dallas is dating a girl?" So I had been outed by then. And
at what, and this was 16?
18.
18.
18 oh when I had God. Been outed to my family.
That's not a good way to get outed.
No.
It really isn't.
No. And so I, because of our obvious, I want to say religious differences, but just like moral differences between me and my family, we don't talk a lot. At that point in time, like we really weren't talking at all. So I had to come to them with this like, "Hey, surprise, I'm pregnant." And I got a big long lecture of like, "Why aren't you using birth control? Like, why aren't you on birth control? Why are you doing that?" And, you know, like I said, at the time, I didn't really call it a rape. I said, like, I was drunk, I was high, I shouldn't have slept on the couch. So I just kind of took it and was like, "Yeah, I should have been on birth control. You're right. Like, what was I thinking?
My gay self."
Yeah. Now, I mean, I still don't have the greatest relationship with them, but once I had my child, they were like head over heels in love with her.
So many stories that the grandparents that come around for the kids. So many stories. Yeah.
She definitely helped repair our relationship to a certain extent, to the extent where we can, you know, talk to each other on holidays and we don't fight anymore.
Yeah. When you recognized what it was that actually happened to you, did you tell your parents?
No, I never have. I've never talked to them about it.
Wow.
I don't think they would feel any different.
Right. Doesn't feel like a place you were going to get support. They probably would have still blamed you.
And it's such a heavy thing to talk about every time we talk about it. I'm sure the trauma comes back. So, you know.
All right. So moving forward.
So you're pregnant and you're pretty much alone from what it sounds like. You don't have support. You've lost your job. What happens from here?
So I had an apartment and I had actually gotten fired from my job and it was deemed wrongful termination. So I was given unemployment. So I was pretty set, actually. But because I had gotten pregnant by somebody who had also worked there and it was like a drama thing, it was the unemployment said it was closer to a sexual harassment wrongful termination than it was anything. And so my job was like, we're not going to fight that. Here's your unemployment.
Did he lose his job too?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Oh my!
Probably not.
I can't even, Dallas. I'm so angry.
I know.
It was wild. Yeah, it was a wild ride, for sure.
Oh my God.
So I was pretty set for a little while. I had a roommate, and then I had a pretty large falling out with my roommate when I was like 8.5 months pregnant, and called my parents and was like, "I have nowhere to go," and they let me move in with them. So that was a relief.
Thank God.
Obviously,
right?
I had somewhere to go. And so I moved in with them and I went into labor at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I just do not have a kind of relationship with my parents where you go tell them like, "Hey, I'm in labor. I need some help." So I just like labored alone. And then I like said, "Hey, can you give me a ride to the hospital?" It took me to the hospital. Oh. And then I was alone for 28 hours of labor. and I had my daughter alone.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah.
And they didn't stay with you?
No, I wouldn't have wanted them to, even if they did.
Okay.
It would have just been super uncomfortable.
Awkward. Yeah.
It's so funny to me that the people who are supposed to be leading religion that's supposed to be about other people and taking care of other people. Compassion. And this is, there's no compassion whatsoever.
None.
So you labored alone. You had your daughter alone. And then it was just you and her.
And I did live with my parents, but I mean, they didn't do anything, you know, like I was alone.
And at what point were you like, I need a plan. I'm putting something together for like my next steps.
Well, they actually offered to let me stay with them for the first year of her life and not go back to work. They said, like, we'll pay for your everything. And this is probably like the biggest thing they've ever done for me, honestly, is they said, like, you don't have to go back to work, because I could not. There's no way I could have afforded to work and also put her in daycare.
Absolutely not. Mm-mm. And you're 19 years old at this point.
I was 20 by the time I had her.
20.
Yeah, but still.
A baby.
Still couldn't drink legally.
No.
No.
Like, yeah. But you have a baby.
Yeah.
When, where did you go, like, career-wise, and how did you, like, how did you get yourself set up? And, you know, because it's like you're being a parent, you're 20. That's a lot just in and of itself.
Yeah. I started nannying, actually. I found a nanny family who was really excited about the prospect of me bringing my child too, because they wanted
such
to.
Such a smart idea.
Yeah. They wanted, you know, socialization further. So I found a nanny family who was, I was able to bring my daughter with me.
That's great.
That's so awesome. Yeah. And then you stayed with them for a while?
Yes. Until I moved to San Diego, actually. And then I found another nanny family in San Diego to get me started.
When did you meet your, and does your partner go by wife, or what is the terminology you all use?
Spouse, usually.
Spouse. Okay.
Yeah.
And your spouse is non-binary. So are we using she, her, or they, or?
She, her is fine.
Okay. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So when did Spence come into the picture?
Oh, we actually met on Instagram.
Really?
Yes, you do.
Yeah. So Spence had a pretty large Instagram page for androgynous folks. And I can't remember what it was called. Andro Boys. It was called Andro Boys. And it just like came up in my Instagram feed one day. And I like liked one of the pictures. And then I liked some more pictures. And then I like, we just started messaging. And then she added me on Snapchat. And then that was that. And she's from San Diego, so she
that
came
has
to
never
visit
happened
me.
To be on Instagram.
Never.
I'm doing something wrong, I think. But go ahead. Well, I mean, I'm married, so it's fine. You know what I'm saying.
You're a little busy.
I'm busy.
She came to visit me once in Reno, and then that was it. And we were together ever since.
And how old was your daughter when Spence entered the picture?
She was just barely two.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So basically as long as she can remember.
Yeah, she doesn't remember a life before her.
What's your daughter's name?
Emily.
Emily. What does Emily call each of you?
She calls me mom, and she calls my spouse Maddie, which is a combination of mom and dad.
Oh.
I love
cute,
that.
Maddie.
I've never heard that. I love that.
Yeah, aww. My spouse actually came up with it because Emily started calling her mom. And she didn't like it. She was like, I just really don't like it. It doesn't make me feel good. And I was like, well, you better change it now. Because if you don't change it now, you're going to be mom forever.
Right.
And
right,
so she came up with it.
I like it a lot, Maddie.
Yeah.
So you guys just recently got married?
We did. We got married a year ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
In the middle of COVID, right?
Yes. It was 2 weeks after the U.S. shutdown. Okay. So we had gotten engaged in April of 2019 and planned our wedding for March of 2020, and had pretty much everything ready to go. I had filled my dining room with, like, we'd purchased all of our alcohol. I had made all of our centerpieces, like all of our decorations and everything. And March 13th, 2020 is when the U.S. shut down.
Oh my God.
So it was just 2 weeks before we were supposed to get married.
Ugh.
I mean, on the plus side, you went into COVID stocked with booze.
Oh, yeah. And
if we're looking at the upside of this.
Sure did. I put a dent in it for sure. And I still, like, if you were to look through our cabinets, you would be a little shocked by the amount of alcohol that we have, because we just have so many bottles of wine and like Costco sized bottles of tequila and vodka.
Oh, my God.
But
oh, my God.
We had to drink all the beer because the beer was going to go bad.
Gotta
and
drink
it was
it.
Either like throw it away or drink it. So we drank it.
I mean,
there was nothing else to do.
Jamie, let's talk modern fertility, the easy at-home fertility hormone test that was created to make testing your fertility hormones easy. You give yourself a simple finger prick at home, mail in with a prepaid label, and you'll get your personalized results within 10 days.
Yeah, it's so good. You guys, listen, we talk about how expensive our paths to parenthood are all the time. And traditional testing with your doctor can cost over $1,000 at least. But modern fertility only costs $159, and you're going to get the same information. And guys, if you go to modernfertility.com/OCT, you're going to get $20 off your test. So you're going to save a little bit of money on this expensive journey.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you have an HSA or an FSA, you can use those bucks on Modern Fertility. More money saving. Jamie made me say, ka-ching.
Right, I did. And it's funny. But you're going to get insight into how many eggs you have, your hormone levels, and other important fertility factors.
It doesn't stop there either, no, Jamie. The results from Modern Fertility go deep into what every hormone means. And you can also talk one-on-one with fertility nurse to review your results and options for the next steps.
So guys, if you're ready to start this baby-making journey, this might be the right place to start for you.
Mm-hmm. Right now, which is exciting, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
Just to clarify, that means your test will cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office.
Yep, get that $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
Modernfertility.com/OCT. Ka-ching!
Don't do that. When did you all start talking babies? Or baby? I think we just want, do we want one? Or do we want more?
Or do you want like 10 more?
I know.
I actually don't know. I think I'm good with one more, but we've never actually talked about it together. We're probably both afraid of like the answer that's coming from, I have a feeling she only wants one. But okay. We started talking babies. I mean, oh gosh, probably a couple years ago, but she had a deadline herself that she wanted to have another child before she turned 35. So she turns 35 this year.
Well, so things have to get started. And before we go into that, we didn't really delve into just how your daughter's relationship and Spence's relationship kind of fell into place.
They fell in love with each other pretty much right away.
That's great.
Spence has an incredible family who is just like, they're just the most incredible family that I've ever met. And I don't really have a good example for family, but I think they still excel. And so they really welcomed us with open arms into their family, just without hesitation. And her and Spencer, they are best buds. They could do without me, probably. Like, they'd be okay.
I don't think so. But that's really great. I mean, that's wonderful just to have that.
Yeah.
So easy. The ease
of
it.
Since we're here, since we're talking about that, like, what's the legal standing with Spence and Emily?
There is none. As of right now, we are working towards a step parent adoption.
What exactly is that, similar to a second parent adoption? Like, what is that? Have you heard of that before, Jamie?
No, I don't think so.
It is similar to a second parent adoption. It's a little bit more, there's a little bit more legal stuff involved, though. Generally, the bio parent terminates their rights and the new parent can come in and adopt and have all of the legal everything. There is no bio parent to terminate rights in my daughter's case. Yeah, it's a little bit more involved and everything is a lot slower because of COVID and things are starting to open up, but it's just really slow. So
yeah,
you basically,
I'm in the process of second parent adoption. I know it's taking so long.
Yeah. You basically file all the same paperwork that you do for a second parent adoption. It just goes a little bit further. And you have to have a social worker come out and like check your house and all that stuff. We have to have a lawyer file via publication. So that means that they have to put an ad out in the paper of the place that we both used to live that says like, this child is up for adoption. If you would like to contest it, you have to find us and contest it. So
isn't that the weirdest thing though, that's how that works, is like putting an ad in
this
a paper.
Day and age.
And that's what I said when we talked earlier, that it's probably a holdover from
the 40s.
From just like, when that was the one town,
it's,
you know.
Really, like, he's probably not anywhere near there anymore. I mean, who knows?
And who reads the paper anymore?
Right.
So, okay, so you're in the process of that now.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And you are starting to make a family.
Yes.
Dum-dum-dum. So much. Let's talk about that. How are you going about it? Give us the deets.
We have a known donor. So we're doing at-home insemination with a known donor.
Wow.
How'd you find your known donor?
It's actually a really funny story.
Okay.
My friend from high school, I went to a private Christian middle school and high school, mm-hmm. and it was very small. I've been the black sheep for like my entire life. I learned that my friend from high school tells everyone that I was the rebel.
Interesting. But you didn't feel like a rebel at the time? That's so funny.
I mean, I totally was. I just didn't give a fuck. Like, I kind of fell out of touch with everyone because I was the not Christian. And I, a few years ago, got back in touch with a friend of mine from high school. And they had let me know, like just randomly telling me that their husband had donated for another gay couple and had a beautiful baby. And I was like, that's so awesome. Like, we're going to start trying to have a baby too. And they said, well, you know, my husband would donate for you if you want him to.
What?
Oh.
Did they have kids of their own?
No.
This is very interesting.
I would love that. And you were like, yes, please.
Yeah. And we, you know, we met him and, well, we virtually met him because it was COVID time when we started this whole process. But he is absolutely wonderful. And we just love him. And he is also Mexican, which was important for Spence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's the inspiration for him to want to do this? He doesn't have children of his own. So where's it come? Do you know where it comes from? This
he is just like, I would say like at the heart of it, it's just like altruism. Like he just, he just is a really good person.
Oh, that's so, it's like so awesome that it just sort of showed up for you. Like the universe just kind of. Like, because I feel like you've had some tough breaks, say the least.
A little bit.
And so, like, to have that, like, to have things start to, you know, fall in place are nice.
Yeah.
You've already started, so I'm assuming you have some kind of agreements in place.
Yes. On the California.gov website, there is actually a known donor contract. Yeah, you
didn't
can just,
know
like,
that.
Did not know that.
Print it out and have it notarized. And it doesn't have a ton of legal standing, so we do have it. We did have it notarized and everything. But in California, it's pretty easy. Yeah. It's much easier than it is in other states. If you can basically, if you can prove like via text or phone call or anything that there was a contract beforehand, they'll usually honor it. So we do have the known donor contract, but we also just plan to have him terminate his rights.
That's what I was going to say. I know you don't have the baby yet, but you know you do your second parent adoption there and then you're covered.
Yep. So that's our plan.
Do they plan to be around at all? I mean,
yeah. Have you talked about wanting to be in each other in the baby's life or anything like that?
So actually they have recently decided that they're going to start having kids. And she actually just got her positive pregnancy test a few days ago.
Oh,
So is that complicating things? Like, what is that?
It's not. We talked about like how our kids would be genetically siblings. And she's just like, that's really cool. You know, that's really great. And we live in different states. So it's not like we're going to see each other a lot anyway. But my main concern and my wife's main concern was that our child that already exists would start to feel some type of way about, you know, like having a sibling who knows this part of their family. And so I, you know, we had expressed that and talked to them about it. And they told us, like, we'll be as involved as you want or not as involved as you want. And we love your child already. And we will treat her like she's our family. And we'll do whatever you want, basically. So.
Oh, that's great.
It sounds messy and it just sounds complicated. But our relationship is such that it doesn't feel messy or complicated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have it figured out.
Yeah.
Well, and you already know that. He did it for another family and he wasn't crazy about it. So that's like kind of a nice, you know, it's like, and if he gets crazy, maybe it's not just at your family, it's at another one. And
like, right. Yeah. Do you know what the agreement is with the other family?
He did the same thing. He did a contract and I don't know if he terminated his rights, but he did a known donor contract with them and he's actually out visiting them and donating for their second child, like right now.
He is making a lot of babies right now, this guy.
He's making a lot of babies right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's really, I just love that there are wonderful people out there who want to help people.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Jamie, you know, we talk a lot about LGBTQ families and they're so intentional. We say it all the time, We start planning way before our babies come into the picture. And I think it's important to add securing your family's future to your to-do list. You know how I feel about this. You're going to need to establish a will or a trust at trustandwill.com.
Yes. Yes. And yes, you talk about this a lot. It's true. What I love about trustandwill.com is that setting up an estate plan is simple, convenient, and secure. And it's affordable. It's great.
I know. For as little as $39, you can nominate guardians for your children, determine who gets your stuff, and plan for the future medical care, all from the comfort of your home, Jamie.
That's great. You love that too. But also, hiring a traditional estate attorney can cost thousands. And using a one-size-fits-all template is not nearly specialized enough, especially for our families. Let's get real.
Yeah. And trust and will documents are designed by estate planning experts and can be customized for the state that you live in. And with live customer support 7 days a week, trustandwill.com's team is available to answer any of your questions that you have while setting up your plan.
It's true. It's actually an option in the questionnaire. Do you want to talk to somebody?
Oh, yeah.
So I went to their website. I took their simple and quick quiz, and I was directed right to the page that would help me establish a guardian for my kids because, shockingly, we hadn't updated the guardianship for when Ryan was born. So we had to do that. It's easy to forget these things.
Trust and Will is the most trusted name in online estate planning, the category leader on Trustpilot, and they've helped hundreds of thousands of people protect their family's assets and legacy.
You're going to gain peace of mind at trustandwill.com/OCT and get 10% off plus free shipping of your customized legal documents, guys.
Don't wait. Go right now. This is really important. You're going to get 10% off plus free shipping at trustandwill.com/OCT.
Trustandwill.com/OCT.
Where are you in the trying? Are you going to carry or is Spence going to carry?
I'm going to carry. We inseminated in March on the 24th. And unfortunately, that ended in a chemical pregnancy.
Sorry,
that's rough, but it was successful. It was wild because that was successful. And then his spouse also got pregnant. And then he flew out to go knock up this other lesbian.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Wow. Was wild. He's just making babies left and right.
Yeah.
Can I ask, you did it at home. Did you use any kind of a fertility kit or did you how'd you guys do it?
It's totally nosy. Not. That's not at all. That's literally what I talk about on my podcast.
I mean, if that's the nosiest question we've asked this, I mean.
Oh God.
Anyway. So we've done a few inseminations at home and there is that Mosey baby kit, which I'm sure you've heard of.
We talked to them a lot. Yep.
Yeah. It's just a little too expensive for my blood. For a one-time use thing. So I found like a dupe on Amazon. They're syringes that are the same shape.
Oh.
And we use that. But honestly, this time I would get home from work and my spouse would go to work and he would just like give us a sample and I would pour it into a soft cup and put the soft cup in and that was it.
Wow.
And I did get pregnant. I would say that's great. Works.
How long will you try at home before you will... I don't know what your next step would be. And because he's a known donor, is there going to be issues with if you want to go more of the science route? Like, would there have to be the quarantining of the sperm and all that business or
the testing?
So I have a midwife, actually. Be going through a clinic at all. And my midwife has the ability to wash the sperm and do an IUI.
Cool.
So we plan to try 6 times at home and 6 months was my mark. If nothing happens and if it doesn't work, then we're going to go to IUI. But because my midwife has the ability to do it, we don't have to worry about a quarantine period or anything. She will just wash it and then do the IUIs for us at home.
And she doesn't require like any testing done because I know a lot of the clinics require that you put the sperm through.
That's because they're federally regulated.
Testing. Right.
Or state, right? Some way but regulated.
How did you find the midwife? How did you find this route even?
In my side project, my passion project is like fertility work and full spectrum fertility work for people. And so I have a lot of like midwifey friends, lots of like home birth, hippie birth weirdos. And so I found her through another friend of mine and I asked her, I just said, hey, like, can you do this at home? And she said, yep.
Wow. I honestly didn't know that.
I don't even know how they wash the sperm. I don't know what they do. So it's interesting.
I thought they like,
I thought
just
it was like
shake
a spinning.
It.
Thing.
Yeah. They spin it.
Yeah.
And it gets
and it
rid
separates,
of the-
it separates the junk from the good stuff from the swimmers.
Like kind of similar to when you spin blood for plasma. It's similar to that.
Okay. All right.
Well, you know, I feel like you just need to school us on some more stuff. It's just that we have a podcast about it, but I don't know if we know.
I know, but we don't know.
I don't know about you, Robin. I'm feeling really old right now because I feel like.
Which reason?
We're of like the older lesbian generation who don't like you guys are. I feel like the younger folks are coming up with so many different ways to do this. And yeah. We keep learning new things.
I definitely think I would have tried at home the way that you are doing if I could have.
Neither one of us thought it was really an option.
Wasn't an option when I did it.
Well, there were people who still did it even in the 70s.
Not with a sperm bank sperm, though. I didn't want to use a known donor. Oh, but there right. wasn't. There's you couldn't that do too. That. At least our bank. I don't know. I didn't research enough.
It's not about us.
It's not. Okay, sorry. Well, Dallas, like, I love this for you. It's like your baby's coming, which I love. You're newly married and like you got a fresh, clean start in San Diego. I love all this for you. And I love that you're podcasting about your process.
Yeah, that's been fun and interesting, too. I started my podcast because I couldn't find a resource. And when you Google trying to conceive things, you find like, let's do the sperm meets egg, like let's baby dance every other day. And it's there's nothing.
It's so heteronormative.
Yes.
What's the name of your podcast again? So everyone knows about it.
Less Straightforward.
Love it. Just talking about your journey or you have guests? Like, tell us about the podcast a little bit.
I have given my knowledge as I'm definitely not a professional. And so I've stated that like, I'm not a professional, but here's what I know. Here's all the research I've done and here's how I've done it. And then I've also had friends of mine come on the podcast and share their stories as well.
Awesome. That's so great.
Yeah. We love paying it forward. So like, go listen to this podcast too. Let's create a whole world of LGBTQ fertility podcasts.
Well, there should just be like no one domination. Who can't find our voices. Exactly. Like there should nobody who be like everywhere. They can't find you know, that they feel alone trying to make their LGBTQ baby. Yes. Well, we wish you all the luck in the world. And we hope that it happens on this next go. That's what I hope.
Always.
Thank you so much. This was great.
Whew. Ooh. She is resilient, Dallas.
She's tough. She's tough. Yeah. She's had a tough road and she's a tough cookie. Go,
she
Dallas.
She really is. I hope the second pregnancy comes easy for her. I feel like she really deserves it.
She does. She really does. She deserves all the love in the world and all the acceptance too. We love you, Dallas.
Right?
Right?
Right. Ugh. And I think we should start by accepting her podcast. Mm-hmm. It's called Less Straightforward. Go take a listen. There's room for all of us.
There's room for all of us. And I have a feeling our listeners might like her podcast as well. Because I do want to say, she does seem very knowledgeable about things that we might not be.
We are not. We are not. We are not.
She knows a lot of information.
Go get actual information from Dallas. From us, just be like, what? Oh, that's funny.
But keep tuning in to us, guys. Don't leave us.
Oh, God.
Okay.
So as we mentioned, you can get our book, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family, at all major retailers. And if you want to buy locally, check IndieBound. Mm-hmm. You can get the audiobook if you want us to read to you. That's available at Amazon and iTunes. And if you get it, don't be afraid to rate and review us on Amazon or Goodreads.
Let's keep this conversation going. We are Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We are If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube. And on YouTube, you're going to see recordings of our live streams. And please don't forget, we have our live stream, the show that nobody asked for, on Facebook and YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday. When then you get to like interact with us, and it's very fun. And please also support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And that's where you're going to get bonus content that you can't find anywhere else, folks.
And thank you to our sponsors, Cubo AI, Modern Fertility, and Trust in Will. And a humongous thank you to all you Patreons who are helping us make this show. We really do appreciate all of
you. We do. I just mailed out 2 thank you cards. Thanks so much.
And Jamie, it is time for us to say,
hey,
eggs. Whoa, ovaries. Oh, just say out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.